A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." When our Holy Father, St. Francis, founded his band of poor friars, there were already many groups of people embracing a life of poverty as a way of emulating Christ. What made St. Francis different is that he linked this life of poverty to one of obedience to the Pope. Obedience to the Pope grounded the Franciscan order in the heart of the Church, and more than that, it made it present in every part of the Church, dispersed throughout the whole world. The reason Francis did that is simple. Without the Pope, there is no Church to speak of. Upon this rock, the rock that is Peter, has Jesus founded his Church, and the will of Christ is not thwarted, and St. Francis knew that. What makes Peter special is Jesus' choosing Simon the fisherman and making him Peter, the rock of the Church. Giving someone a new name is always a significant action, especially when the name giver is God himself. One prominent example in the Old Testament is Abraham, our father in faith. From being simple Abram, meaning exalted father, he is renamed by God Abraham, the father of a multitude. Because this name change is a divine act, it is also effective. Abraham truly becomes a father of a multitude, and his descendants, God promises him, shall outnumber the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. In the Bible, in the 51st chapter of Isaiah, God exhorts his people, "Look to the rock whence you were hewn. Look to Abraham, your father." Here the man whose name was changed by God is also called Rock. And the same happens to Simon the fisherman. God incarnate changes his name, and he changes it to Rock. What Abraham was to the people of Israel is what Peter is to the Israel of God, the Holy Church. Today we commemorate the two great apostles of the Church and of the city of Rome, Peter and Paul. They were both witnesses of the risen Christ and recipients of God's revelation. Peter is told by Jesus, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And likewise, Paul calls himself an apostle through Christ Jesus and says that when he received God's revelation, "I did not confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me." Like Peter, Paul does not receive God's revelation via flesh and blood, but, as he writes, "I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised. For he who worked through Peter for the mission to the circumcised worked through me also for the Gentiles." And Paul continues, "But after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas." Eventually then, Paul visits Peter, calling him here Cephas, the Hellenization of the Aramaic name Jesus gave him, Kepha, rock. Although grace and revelation are gifts of God, within the Church, Paul differs to Peter, because Peter is the rock of the Church, without whom there is no Church. That is one of the reasons why Paul gets angry with Peter and the poor example he sets. And Paul says, "When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was blamed." Paul knows that Peter is preeminent, and what he does, others will follow. Peter has been given the keys of the kingdom to bind and to loose. Even when he is not binding and loosing, his behavior sets an example for the whole church. The bad example of some successors of Peter have contributed to a growing desire for reform, for a growth in holiness. But this cannot be done outside the church. Without Peter, there is no church. We cannot make our own Christianities, but have only the Christianity that Christ gave us. And that includes the firm foundation of Peter. The role of the successor of Peter, that is, of the popes, belongs to the very nature of the church by the choosing of Jesus. It is not a whim, then, and whatever is not built on Peter will not last. Within the church, the charism of Peter is not opposed by the charism of Paul, as though Paul were an excuse to combat or to ignore Peter. The Apostle Paul never did that. In any case, the Pope is not only the successor of Peter, he is also the successor of Paul. And it is the Pope who embodies the charismatic spirit of Paul also. In the church, the popes continue to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and they continue to turn and strengthen us, their brothers and sisters. And they hold the keys of the kingdom, feeding Christ's sheep and lambs, and still confess that we have none else to go to but Christ, still confessing, "Lord, you know everything. You know that we love you." And the gates of Hades shall never overcome this church.